everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Great American Senior Show. I'm your gray-haired host, Sam Yates. And if you recall back an episode or so ago, we had a very special guest talking about her book and actually a few other things that I think will become very, very relevant as we get into this particular episode. But welcome back to Cameron Huddleston. She's the author of Mom and Dad, We Need to Talk, How to Have Essential, and I underline, essential conversations with your parents about their finances. And that phrase that I want to use on my own over and over again, it's time to talk. So Cameron, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me back.
In our previous episode, we had a lot of different topics that we covered, and we started off right at the top about something that you're involved in, and I was so impressed with it. I want to make sure that we give it some another plug and talk about it a little bit. It's called Get Careful. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so Careful is the first service that is built to organize and protect aging adults' daily finances. You can link your credit card and bank account to the Careful service. It's going to monitor your accounts 24/7 for money mistakes that commonly affect older adults, late payments, missed payments, duplicate payments, and it's also going to look for signs of fraud, unusual transactions, gift card purchases, recurring charitable and political donations, and there's also credit monitoring and personal information monitoring. And so you get all of that wrapped into one service.
Careful with two L's. Now, you know, I'm curious, it sounds like there's nothing like this that's available out there. This is rather unique, isn't it?
It is, and it's new. We launched the mobile app in February, and we are in the process of creating a desktop service so that you can log on and do it through your personal computer. But no, there's nothing out there that's specifically dedicated to helping protect older adults' finances. And there's also a caregiving component. If you are caring for an aging parent or loved one, then you can link their accounts and monitor their accounts, see them all in one place, get alerts when there's something wrong. You don't have the right through the Careful app to access any of the money in the account. So your parents maintain their independence. You just get peace of mind knowing that we're looking out for their financial well-being.
You know, as we were in our previous episode talking about the process that happens as you have a conversation and actually multiple conversations and why you need to have those conversations so that you have important things, even stories about family that parents can pass on, those all hit nerves for me. But one thing that jumped out was the fact that if you're caring for an aging parent and they are in the passing process, when they pass, when they die, some people might say, oh my goodness, thank goodness for, you know, small miracles. I don't have to be worrying anymore. And not that, you know, it's thank goodness, but figuratively speaking, that they don't have to worry about passwords and other things. That's a fallacy. That sometimes is even more of a problem because they haven't thought about those things, like you mentioned, Social Security, various accounts, trust. How important is it to make sure you gather as much information as possible before the passing of a loved one?
It's incredibly important because if you happen to be named the executor of your parents' estate, you are the person who is going to have to settle the estate. You are going to have to close financial accounts. You're going to have to be in charge of distributing assets. You are going to have to settle any debts that your parent might have had. And I can tell you from personal experience that if you don't have a list of your parents' assets, if you don't know what accounts they have, if you don't know whether they have a life insurance policy, if they have a way to pay for their funeral, if you don't know what their Social Security number is, you have to play detective And this is not something that you want to have to do at a time when you are grieving. Losing a parent is incredibly difficult. And even if you have all this information, it's still a lot to take on. I mean, I lost my mother in January. She had had Alzheimer's disease. And even though I had all the information about her accounts, it was still a lot of work trying to settle her estate. I just can't imagine how difficult it would have been if I didn't have that information. It would have been absolutely overwhelming. And the thing is, things can slip through the cracks. There might be accounts that you don't know about. Your parents have worked hard saving up all this money all their lives, and they hope to pass it on to you, and you didn't even know the account existed, and it's turned over to the state as unclaimed property. You know, or there's stock certificates in a shoebox under the bed, and you toss it because you didn't realize there was anything valuable in there. And wow, there goes some money that could have been passed on through the generations.
Those things happen all too frequently. I won't go into the stories that happened to myself, but you and I know, will be in contact following this program, because we found that we are traveling in similar circles as we care for and think about and plan future safety margins and nets for senior citizens. So I know we will be. But as you mentioned Alzheimer's, and I'll just pass on a thought before I jump into another question about your book. I've encountered people who have both of their parents with Alzheimer's, and they're finding it very difficult as the child of Alzheimer parents to find support groups. So if you and your various travels and contacts find any groups like that, please share that with me, because I've been asked to find certain groups like that, and I haven't been able to so far, and it sort of tugs at my heart. So please keep me posted if you do.
Certainly. And actually, the Alzheimer's Association is a really good resource. There are lots of groups on Facebook where you can get support, and I encourage people to get support. It is so difficult.
Absolutely, it is. Your book was something that was hard for me to put down. I've gone through it a couple of times, and one of the various details that I found, and I want to ask about it, the use of footnotes and attribution in a book like this. The big question, why and how important is that? It was important to me, but maybe you could share, because I got special benefit out of it, but why is that important that you did that?
Well, I am a journalist, and my book is written from the point of view of a journalist, and also from my own personal experience, you know, helping my mother with her finances while she had Alzheimer's disease. And I think as a journalist, it's very important that you provide your sources so that people know that you're just not making this stuff up off the top of your head. And so I want to, you know, I included the links to all of the articles that I used and that I referenced. You know, if people want to go and get more information for themselves. I mean, also, it was something that my publisher wanted to include too, you know, just to show people that this has been well researched. Again, I'm not just making this up. There's a lot of research that went into my book.
Well, it was impressive to me. And I, believe it or not, I did check out some of those sources, because it's like, wow, that's a great idea. And it honestly has led to some of the upcoming topics that we're going to be talking about here on the Great American Senior Show. But, you know, as we look at the book in itself, and again, I want to commend you, because it does follow a very logical progression about starting a conversation. There's a section that talks about estate planning. Why is that important?
I know oftentimes people, when they hear the word estate plan, estate planning, you think that this is something that only wealthy people do. And that is not true. Everyone needs to have estate planning documents, a will or a trust, something that spells out who gets what when you die. Because if you die without a will, the state essentially has one for you. It has its own laws that spell out who gets the property and assets of someone when they die. And if you want to have a say in who gets your things, even if you don't have a lot of things, you need to put it in writing. I think, though, more important than the will are these two other documents. Power of attorney, which lets you name someone to make financial decisions for you and financial transactions for you if you can't. And an advanced directive that's going to spell out what sort of end-of-life care, medical care you do or do not want. And oftentimes rolled into that advanced directive is the ability to name someone as your healthcare surrogate who can make medical decisions for you if you can't. You have to be mentally competent to sign these documents. They've got to be in place. So this is not something when you do that you wait to do until you're older. You do it now, today. Any adult needs to have these documents. And if I had not been named my mother's power of attorney, I would not have had the legal right to sign checks for her. I would not have had the legal right to sell her house for her when we needed to get full-time care for her. I would not have had any right to make financial decisions or transactions for her. And then I would have had to have gone through the court process. And I would have had to petition to become her conservator. And that is essentially putting your parent on trial to prove that your parent is no longer competent to manage his or her own finances. It can be expensive. It can be lengthy. And of course, it's going to be emotional. Who wants to put their parent on trial? You can avoid this by getting these documents in place. And so you need to make sure you have them. You need to make sure your parents have them.
We talked a little bit about parents sometimes being computer literate. We know what happens when even ourselves, and I'm guilty of it. Dr. Google, I have a pain, and it says parents, when they are thinking about those documents, there might be a tendency for them to adopt a Dr. Google do-it-yourself approach. Bad idea?
Well, there are plenty of DIY estate planning documents available. Some are better than others. And I would say that if that is the only sort of document that you can afford, if you cannot afford to meet with an attorney, then having something is better than nothing. Some great resources, the American Bar Association. If you do a search for the Bar Association in your state, oftentimes they will provide a free will that you can download. It's going to comply with your state's laws. Even estate planning attorneys will say that those advanced directives and healthcare power of attorney documents that you can find online, maybe even get from your doctor's office, those are usually pretty good. Where it gets tricky is the power of attorney document. Like if you can only afford to pay for one document, you need to get that one because there are various types of power of attorney and the laws can vary from state to state. And yes, you don't want to get this one wrong. You don't want to give someone too much power. You don't want to leave them without enough power. You don't want a bank to look at that document and say, well, an attorney didn't draft this. Where did you get this? We're not going to honor this. And so that document in particular, it's very important that you meet with an attorney to draft that one.
You know, as you talk about giving perhaps too much power, in your book, you wrote about a person named Rita Ching. Rita Ching gave her mother a cell phone so they could keep in contact. And it turned out perhaps that was a bad idea. Why?
Well, because she had downloaded social media apps onto her phone and had met someone online who seemed like a really nice fellow, and they struck up an online relationship. And then this man starts asking her for money and manages to get a lot of money from Rita's mom. And the crazy thing is that Rita had no idea this was going on. And Rita's a really financially savvy woman. She's a financial planner. In fact, she is, you know, she's involved in committees in her community that, you know, work to help protect older adults. And so she had no idea this was going on. You know, I'm sure her mother, once she starts, you know, giving this money, maybe she's even embarrassed to tell her daughter about it, but she gets a call out of the blue from someone. And what had happened is, someone else, like this con artist, was asking someone else to take those deposits. And then that person ended up with too much money in her account and couldn't qualify for like state welfare benefits. And it was just kind of this crazy chain of events that leads Rita to getting this call and finds out her mom is giving money to someone. She was able to get a lot of that money back, but not all of it. But oftentimes that's not the case. And so if you do have a parent who is active on social media and that parent is talking about a new person in their lives, and you might think, oh, this is great. Mom's not going to be lonely anymore. Well, you need to pay attention. You need to ask questions. Who is this person? How did you meet them? Have you ever met them in person? You know, and let your parents know about the warning signs of romance scams, because these are so prevalent and so many older adults lose lots of money to these romance scams.
My grandmother, after my father passed, took my mother out to a popular dining establishment so that she could meet men. And she encountered a very serious situation. So very similar to that. So sometimes it's not just the, and I chuckle because it did come to a happy conclusion there. But it's almost like sometimes it becomes our turn to be the parent to our parents. And we seriously have to watch out for them.
We do. We do.
May was Elder Attorney Month, Elder Law Month. And I know that we did quite a bit of local activities throughout the state of Florida and into Ohio, where we wanted to recognize elder attorneys for all the good that they are doing in our communities. Ended up giving them, of all things, succulents, because they last forever. And it's a constant reminder that the Great American Senior Show was here, because you've got something that qualifies as a cactus that will live forever on your desk. But elder law attorneys are very important. And I know earlier you mentioned them as well. Give them a plug, because what they do is important.
Yes. And so if you are an older adult, I would certainly encourage you to meet with an elder law attorney to draft those estate planning documents, but also to help you plan for long-term care needs. I mean, more than half of adults 65 and older are going to need long-term care at some point. And this is assistance with the activities of daily living, bathing, dressing, eating, getting in and out of bed. Long-term care can be incredibly expensive. However, an elder law attorney can help you plan for the possibility that you might need care and help you find ways to pay for that care. Medicaid is the one government program that will pay for long-term care. Medicare does not. An elder law attorney can help you qualify for Medicaid to pay for your care. And the thing is, the system is so complicated, and it really does take a professional to navigate it. You know, and so if you're helping an aging parent, find time to meet with an elder law attorney. If you're older yourself, reach out to someone, because they have so much knowledge and can help you plan for the future so that you aren't going to become a burden on your family, and so that you can afford to pay for the care that you might need.
Which leads us to talking a little bit about ALFs and SNFs, and someone that's listening and going, what the heck is an ALF or a SNF, an assisted living facility or a skilled nursing facility? Those are facilities that really benefit from the fact that they know how to care for the elderly. In the case of the COVID pandemic, we saw a lot of people impacted at those facilities. And as a result, a lot of seniors now want to stay at home. There is a growing trend called CAPS, which is the Certified Aging in Place Specialist. When you encounter seniors that want to stay at home and be cared for at home, is that a growing trend? And how do you give them advice? What advice can be passed on to them?
Well, I think you could ask anyone and they would probably tell you that they would like to remain at home. No one wants to go into a nursing home. But I think people first need to realize the nursing home is not your only option. There are a variety of care facilities out there. There are independent living communities. There are continuing care communities where you can start an independent living. And if you need some assistance, you can move into their assisted living facility. If you need skilled nursing care, you can move into their nursing facility. There are assisted living facilities. There are memory care facilities. And then finally, kind of at the end of that spectrum is the nursing home. you know, the idea of aging at home is great, but it's not always a good idea. If you're living in a two-story home and you have to get up and down the stairs to your bedroom and you are having trouble walking, that home is not suitable for you anymore. If you have to step in and out of a bathtub instead of having a walk-in shower, that's not going to accommodate your needs as you age. If you have a large yard that needs to be cared for, if you have an older home that needs a lot of maintenance, you know, it could end up, your home could not be suitable for aging in place. And I would encourage people, while they can, to explore those opportunities in your community. Look at those continuing care communities. Look at the assisted living facilities, the memory care facilities, and let your children know, hey, these are the places I've checked out, and these are the places that I would consider moving into. If you're determined to stay at home, then maybe it's time to downsize and find a place where you can age in place. Do it sooner rather than later so it can be your choice and not your child saying, okay, this is the apartment that I'm going to put you in. But I would, the final thing that I would add about that is that if you need long-term care, it can be a full-time job for your caregiver.
Yes.
If you have a spouse and you're counting on your 80-year-old wife to care for you, can she physically get you in and out of bed? Can she get you dressed? She might not be able to. And so you need to be open to the idea of having professional care, and you need to plan to pay for it.
And certainly that is true, because I deal with that through a couple of my clients. And it is something that people need to plan for and not be caught short because they have a financial situation. As we have gone through your book, we got to the end of the book as I'm reading it, and it hit a real note for me that brought on sadness. And we touched on it briefly, but what is the importance of making sure that memories are captured, that stories are captured, that history of your family is captured? How important is that, and why should we do it?
So, you know, I start out my book by saying that I regret not talking to my mom about her finances before she started experiencing memory loss. But at the end of the book, I tell people that I regret not using the opportunity to talk to my mom and record her stories. You know, I wasn't even thinking about that as she was starting to forget things. And I never thought about it with my father. He died at 61. And, you know, I was 28 years old at the time, and I wasn't thinking I needed to sit down and record him, because I thought he was going to be around for a long time to share those stories with my children. And my children grew up without grandfathers. They never got to hear the wonderful stories my dad used to tell me when he would tuck me in. And they knew their grandmother, but they didn't know her as the great grandmother she could have been, because they only knew her with Alzheimer's disease. And it saddens me that they missed out on that. And I couldn't tell their stories nearly as well as they could tell them themselves.
Really important to try to capture that. I think even for ourselves as we age, not a bad idea to maybe, if you're not someone that keeps a diary or a journal, to grab that little digital recorder or use your cell phone and download it, but capture some of your own memories so that you can pass that on. And I'm going to ask you again about careful, and then I've got a suggestion for careful. But tell me about careful one more time.
Certainly. So as I said, it is a service that is geared specifically to protecting aging adults' daily finances. It's account monitoring, it's credit monitoring, it is personal information monitoring. And there's a really wonderful feature with careful that you're not going to find with other services out there, the other financial services. It really promotes coordination among family members. And so if you are helping an aging loved one or parent, what you can do is be a part of their circle and careful. You can get the alerts that they're getting when there's something wrong. You can communicate within the app with your loved one, with your siblings, even with trusted financial professionals your parent has added. And it's view only access. And so if you are monitoring a parent's finances, you don't have access to the money in the account. You can't make transactions. You only get to see what's happening. And so it's going to give you peace of mind that your parents' money is safe, and it allows the older adult to maintain their independence.
Edward Huddleston, one more time, the name of your book is?
Mom and Dad, We Need to Talk, How to Have Essential Conversations with Your Parents About Their Finances.
And how can someone get a copy of that book?
Well, you can go to my website, which is CameronHuddleston.com, and I have links to the various places where you can buy it. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, independent booksellers, or you can check with your local bookstore. They might have it, they might not, but certainly Amazon, which sells everything. You can get it through the Amazon.
Absolutely. I want to thank you for being on the program today. I asked at the end of the previous episode if you would come back for another show, and that question is being asked again. Will you come back for another program in the future?
Sure. If you need me, I'd be happy to come back.
Thank you. I'm Sam Yates, your gray-haired host of the Great American Senior Show, and that's how the program ends.